So now I'm creating categories in packaging my audio interviews, and they can be packaged 1,000 different ways. In this interview, Ben, we're talking about a lot of different things. We could market or package this interview and gear it towards copywriters on how to do better research using audio interviews for your copywriting clients. But we could also take the same interview, and you can include it with a package of interviews for information marketing publishers, people who create information products. Each one of your interviews is very flexible. It's all in the headline and the description of how you position the audio interview so it can be repackaged. I could take one interview and package it for 5 or 6 different products. Does that make sense?
Yeah, the number of things you can do with this is unlimited.
It's endless. And it's easier and faster than writing it all out. That's the bottom line. Writing is painful. It's hard work.
And that's one of the reasons the transcripts help so much. All your research as far as the product is concerned is in there.
Well, for copywriters, and you know this, you're a copywriter for a long time. There was copywriting before you used audio interviews to write copy, and there's copywriting after you started using audio interviews to write your copy. You tell me from a copywriter's standpoint, which one do you feel is more effective, better research, and easier to do?
The interviews cut the time in half, easily, if not more than that. And the effort. I mean, multiple camel letters, 90% that first interview that you did, you know, and just repositioning all the words and the concepts. But it's all done. It's all in there usually.
I'm not the first person doing this, and you're not the first copywriter using audio interviews. Eugene Schwartz in Boardroom, this is exactly what he did with Marty Elson. He interviewed him. They met in person. He sat back, and he shut his mouth, and Eugene Schwartz listened to the dreams and the ideas of Marty Elson, and he just took notes.
And then he just asked the right questions.
He asked the right questions, and that was 90% of his letter. His words. You know, copywriters need to be better listeners. They just need to listen when they're doing their research, and they need to use those exact same words in their sales letter, but they also need to use their copywriting skills and the headlines to create the transitions and everything. But any copywriter listening, hiring someone to interview their subject would be extremely valuable in the form of saving time and getting better quality research. You need someone who really knows how to ask questions, or the copywriter themselves should really dig deep and do audio interviews. More so by phone, using audio in an interview process one-to-one rather than just writing questions down and submitting them through email, because you're able to dig deeper when you're on the phone with them one-on-one.
Oh, they will not answer anything in an email. I mean, most people don't want to write, and I don't blame them.
You got to make it easy for them.
You're right. You got to get on there and ask them, and you got to dig it out. This is why I don't like email interviews. I mean, you've seen those before. Well, I'm going to email this guy some questions. He'll send me back the answer, but you're not going to get the kind of detailed answer, the right answer.
No, because it's hard. No one wants to work. It's not hard to talk. That's what makes it all work. It's not hard to talk. Everyone can talk, and everyone's got ideas they want to share, and everyone wants to talk about themselves. And if you're the guy who's a good listener and willing to listen, they'll tell you everything you want to hear. They'll tell you for free.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that scooter port letter we did. I mean, he interviewed the guy for about an hour at the most, and that was the whole letter. I didn't have to, like, go research anything. It was all there.
Right. It made your job a lot easier. If I said, hey, Ben, you want to do a copywriting project? Here's this guy's name, Buck Gladden. He's got this invention. Here's the link right here. You can go to his site and go ahead and whip up a sales letter.
See, that would have been very hard.
You'd say, hell no.
That wouldn't even have worked, because you were getting those stories out of him. You got the genesis of how it even started in his mind and who it was helping.
I'll just tell a quick story. This was a story. You and I had an idea. Let's sell a high-ticket product. I found a guy with an invention on eBay. He was selling this thing called the scooter port, and it was a little kind of like a kickstand for a kick scooter. You know, the little Razor scooters where you put the front wheel in this little plastic device, and it holds the scooter upright. So normally these Razor scooters don't have kickstands. They're laying all over the place. So he developed this thing with a plastic injection mold, and he had sales into some of the big catalogs like Frontgate and QVC, and he was selling the business on eBay. And so I contacted him, and I asked if we could help sell him the business. And Ben, you and I were going to create a sales letter, and we were going to sell it using a sales letter and using audio interviews to promote and sell this business. And so you agreed. I called him up, and I did an intensive interview, and then I gave you that interview, and that's how you created the sales letter.
Yeah, there was very little outside research. I think I had two questions or something, and that was it.
Is a great example of another way you can use audio to sell something, just like every copywriter knows. You can use a sales letter to sell anything, from BMWs to Rolls Royces to million-dollar mansions. Well, you can use audio to do the same thing, probably just as effectively, maybe even better.
Marry the two mediums, and you've got an extremely powerful setup there. For anyone who would like to see the actual sales letter that I wrote for this invention directly from the audio interview that Michael did with the guy who invented that scooter port, I'll show you where to get it at the end of this interview.
Yeah, now let's talk about that for online marketers, something I just started doing, and it didn't even dawn on me. You know, I've got all kinds of sales letters all over my website. Well, now I'm actually reading the sales letters into a digital audio recording and offering the download. I say, if you don't have time to read this sales letter here, download the MP3 file of the word-for-word sales letter. You know, the whole idea of your sales letter, if you can get it opened and you can get it read, you've got a better chance of selling what you're selling. But a lot of people don't have time online. They're at work, the phone rings, they get distracted. But if I can give them the option to download the word-for-word sales letter in the form of an MP3 file, they can take it home and put it on their iPod and listen to it on the way home, or burn a CD real quick and put it in their car. So I've increased my chances of getting in their mind, getting my sales pitch in their head by offering a downloadable audio.
Well, if you think about it, selling by voice is way more powerful than by reading it.
Right.
And you're just adding that extra layer of persuasion.
Yeah, there's definitely another dimension when you're selling by voice compared to paper. Absolutely.
Now, I kind of wanted to shift into some more of the technicals. We've talked a lot about what you can do with these things and all that, but I wanted to get down to the nitty-gritty here as far as how you actually start preparing to do these interviews, whether you're creating a sales letter-type interview or a product. First of all, now, do you outline what you say? Do you ask the questions first, or do you just kind of wing it when you do these things?
You know, when I first started, I used to wing it. If I said to any of your copywriters listening to write a letter and ask them if they just wing it or do they prepare before they write the sales letter, obviously preparing and doing your research is the most important thing. Now, it depends on the type of interview I do, and there's different formats of interviews that your listeners or anyone interested in creating audio information products can do. If you have a list of customers, by far the easiest and one of the most powerful ways is simply by asking your customers to submit questions. So anyone on my list has probably seen an email that says, I'll be interviewing Vic Conant, CEO of Nightingale Conant, and this is your time to ask him questions. All questions will be answered, and I'll be doing the interview this Tuesday. So go ahead and reply to this email. Ask as many questions as you want about Nightingale Conant, about how to create winning audio information products, what have you. And I'll submit that to my list, and I'll get dozens, sometimes over 100 questions from my subscribers. And then I know that I'm going to give my listeners exactly what they want to know. So I'll take those questions, I'll remove the duplicates, and I'll kind of prioritize them. The best, most compelling questions I'll put in the front. So I'll go through those questions, and I'll list them, and I'll get rid of the duplicates, and I'll organize them in a way that's going to be great for the interview. And this, from an interviewing standpoint, is cake. This is easy because my customers have already done all the work, and I know I'm going to be delivering exactly what they want to know. So it's a question-and-answer style interview. And so when I call Vic Conant, I don't have to dream up anything. I say, Vic, how you doing? Are you ready to get into it? I've got questions submitted from my listeners at Hard to Find Seminars. And the first question is from Ben Settle, who's a copywriter, and he wants to know, and I read your question, and then I listen for his answer. Now, when he gives the answer, a good interviewer will really be listening, and I can dig even deeper. And I can say, well, why is that? Or if he talks about a certain aspect in the answer to the question, I can go off on a tangent. So once I get the ball rolling, I can keep expanding on that question. It's just like when a copywriter starts writing. Once he starts writing, he can get into a mode where he never stops. You know what I'm saying?
You've been doing that right now. I've been asking you questions based on other questions that I wasn't even intending on asking you. So that's a perfect example.
That's right. You're the interviewer. You're doing the interview. This is a little different because I'm the guy being interviewed. I'm usually the guy giving the interview, and it's much easier being where you are than the guy answering the question. questions. That's also what's great. I'm right now positioned as an expert, and it's a lot harder on me than it is on you, Ben. I'd rather not be the expert and just be the guy asking the questions and just get all that free marketing benefit.
Milk all the money from the expert without doing any of the work, really.
That's right. I don't know anything.
And that's probably the best way to do it, because if you're amazed or astonished by something you didn't know, it's just going to come across. I mean, you've been saying things I had no idea you were doing. I'm like, whoa, I didn't know you were reading sales letters into the MP3 and all that. That's a great idea.
So that question and answer interview style is the easiest in just one format. Now, there's another interview style where, I'll give you an example. I just did a two-hour, it's like a mini-seminar interview with a guy named Paul McCord, and he has a best-selling book called Million Dollar Referrals. It's all over Amazon, and I was referred to him, and I approached him to do an interview to promote him. I negotiated a 50% kind of like affiliate deal where I would do the interview, and I would start creating some audio interviews around his expertise, similar to what I've been doing in the past, based on referral marketing. And he has a high-end referral coaching program, which is multiple thousands of dollars per year, which is what my intentions are to promote. Now, in that interview, there was a lot more preparation, but I'm going to show your listeners how easy that is to do, especially with Amazon. So the first thing I did was I went to his website, and he's got a great website. He's got question and answers, so I could take those question and answers where he's answering the most common questions that he believes visitors who come to his website who want to know about referral marketing need to know. So I'll look at his questions, and I'll start reformatting his questions for my interview. I'll look at the products that he has. So he has a couple audio products that he sells. He has a book, which we'll talk about in a second, but first I'll look at his products that he's selling. I'll look at the headlines he has and the descriptions with all the bullets, so I can form more questions from those bullets of the descriptions of the products he's selling on his website. Then we have his book. I go over to Amazon. I search for the book. Amazon allows you to look inside the book, and you can look at the table of contents. Now, you better believe when someone produces a book, they put a lot of time and a lot of thought into creating that table of contents. And now I have additional content for more questions as an outline for my interview. And so what I'll do is I'll print out that table of contents, and I can reformat more questions for my interview. Then I'll look in the index in Amazon.com. You can usually see the index, and that's in the very back of the book, and there's even more detailed stuff. So I'll look through the index, and I'll try and find, kind of like when you're writing copy, you want to look for hooks and bullets. You want to look for really cool stuff you can talk about, and I'll jot that down and include that in my list. If I wanted to do additional research, I may Google referral marketing. I may look at other people who are marketing and selling information products based on referral marketing, and I'll look at their sales letters. I'll look at their bullets. So it's not hard to do the research on the internet to find plenty of content of people who have already done the research before you, and to put that in the form of questions for your specific interview and start with that. So you're never going to be drawing a blank. You have plenty of questions to draw from on the interview. And another thing that's really important, and you and I talked about this recently, is stories sell. And I now make it a point before I do the interview. So with Paul McCord, I said, Paul, this is what I need you to do to prepare for the interview. I want you to think back and write down 10 case studies, 10 stories of students that you've worked with for your referral coaching. And in the interview, we're going to interject these stories all through the interview. So stories sell. People like to listen to stories. And this worked really well in the case of the Paul McCord interview, because we picked 5 case studies to include in the interview. And what I found when I was doing this interview with him, we started off with stories from the very beginning, and it was kind of cool because I positioned him as the expert. But when I said, Paul, can you tell me a case study of some stories of people you know or have worked with who have really increased their income using referral marketing or using referrals? And so he goes into the story about some of his clients. So he's talking about another guy who used referrals to increase his business. So it's almost two people away. So I'm listening to the story. He's listening to the story. The listeners are listening to a story about someone else in the interview. And then as he's telling the stories, I had all these additional questions in my research with all the bullets, but I found that in the story, I was already answering the questions from the bullet and all the research that I found from his site. So as I asked more questions about that story, and by the time we got through all five of his case studies and all of his stories, I was able to get through most of the content in the questions that I already had prepared for that interview. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it just cuts your workload down even more at that point.
You just want to be prepared and never run out of anything. If you've prepared and you've read through your questions and you've done your research, generally you don't really have to look at them. Like, Ben, before we were doing this interview, I prepared answers for your questions, but honestly, I haven't even looked at it. But it's like a just in case, you know? It's just in case, because I don't want to leave anything out, and I want to give your listeners as much value as possible.
If you'd like to order Michael's information product creation system now at a substantial discount, especially prepared for my listeners, you can go to bensettle.com/audio. You just talked about getting people to reveal stories, and that can carry the interview. But some people are a little reserved. Maybe they're a little introverted. I don't know. I guess everybody's different. But some people, you really have to kind of dig those stories out. What do you do when you are interviewing someone who's kind of quiet, kind of hard to get them to elaborate on anything?
Well, it depends why you're doing the interview, okay? And there's another thing that your listeners should understand. All your interview subjects are not going to be dynamic interviews. And it depends. What is this interview for? Are you building value to an existing product that you're already selling? So with Art Hamill, I interviewed an expert named Barry on bank financing. He was not the most exciting guy, but he didn't have to be because the people were already buying the product, but I had additional valuable information on how to get bank financing. He didn't have to be exciting. He wasn't really selling anything. I was using him to increase the value of my Art Hamill product. Along that same line, if you have a product that you want to increase the value, a big name in the industry would be very valuable. That's called marquee value. What you want is his big name. You want to be able to say, included with this package is an interview with X. It doesn't even have to be a super long interview because that interview's purpose isn't to sell anything. The purpose of that interview is to increase the perceived value of your information product. Are you with me?
Absolutely. So if you have someone who's like a superstar in your niche, but you just have that name to put on the actual interview or in the sales letter or whatever, it's done its job.
That's right. It's done its job. That's called marquee value. Now, another thing to keep in mind, you got to ask yourself, why am I doing this interview? So for my site, hardtofindseminars.com, I needed an interview on the subject of negotiation. So I sent out a couple emails to experts in the field, and the purpose of me doing an interview on negotiation was to round out my portfolio on my website on different subjects. So I found a great guy negotiating that I interviewed. The only purpose of that interview was just to increase the variety of interviews. So now I can say I've got an interview with a master on negotiating. Now, interviews on my site, I want them to be kick-ass. So I do want to make sure that my interviews on the stuff I'm giving away for free are great. Because if you're putting out boring interviews for free that aren't on a back end for a product that people are selling, it's going to hurt your brand. It's going to hurt your image. You really don't want to publish anything that's really boring. If you're picking interviews and you're creating a product which you're selling, which is a collection of interviews, you really do want to find the most exciting and best interview subjects because no one wants to listen to a boring interview.
Or at least people who are willing to tell a couple stories, they can't be reserved and held back.
Yeah. If you get into an interview like that and it's just to build the value of an information product, that's okay. But I wouldn't publish free interviews that are really, really bad because you only have one chance to make a first impression and your listeners may believe that your other interviews are really that bad. It just all depends on what is the purpose of the interview. You got to ask yourself that. And another thing, Ben, I'm always asked, how do I get these interviews with these experts? And in your special offer at the end of this recording, I'm going to provide for your listeners the exact email and letter that I use to get these interviews. Any one of your listeners can take this letter, they can modify it, and they can use it to set up great interviews with experts just like I've done. Does that answer it?
Yeah, and in fact, you just led into the next question, too. I assume that's one of the mistakes people might make when they're making audio products like this. What are some other mistakes that people make?
my current interviews, at least for the last couple of years, I edit these things meticulously. Now, I used to edit them all myself, the entire interview. I've built up to where I have now an editor who does all the preliminary editing. Now, when we talk about editing, what are we talking about? When we do this audio interview, it's kind of like when producers shoot a movie. Then it goes to editing, and probably 80% of the film is destroyed, and you just have what's left, the finest of shots. Copywriters could relate to this. Audio editing is like your final draft compared to your first draft. You get rid of all the mistakes, all the ums, the ahs, you know, hear me going, the double talks, all the beeping of the phone. You want to clean that recording up. And why are you doing this? You want to make the listening experience for your listener as enjoyable as possible. They don't want to hear you telling jokes and laughing. They don't want to hear ums. They don't want to hear ahs. They want a clean recording. They want to hear the information delivered to them as cleanly and efficiently as possible, and they want to hear it in a timely manner. They don't want their time wasted. They want the good stuff, the information, the valuable stuff, okay? So I would say one of the biggest mistakes is people developing and putting out audio that is unedited. Number one, a copywriter would never put out a rough draft to sell a final product. Those final sales letters are polished. They are meticulously checked for spelling mistakes. Words are edited. Words are added. It's a lot of hard work editing audio. 1 hour of audio can take up to 5 hours of editing. So one mistake is not editing your audio. Now, if you're doing audio, another big mistake I see is when people go to a website, they may read the description of audio online, and then they may download it. And that audio, you got to keep in mind, is shared and passed along. It's burned on CDs. It's uploaded for their friends. You need to have an introduction to that audio. You need to have an introduction that says who you are, who's doing the interview, who you're interviewing, what is the listener going to hear before that interview starts to play. Because you put everything into perspective. Doing audio recordings without an introduction is a big mistake. If you're marketing and selling, you also want to promote yourself in the audio. You'll notice that throughout all my most recent audio interviews, 10 minutes into an audio, you'll hear a blurb that says, "Hi, you're listening to an audio interview from Michael Sinoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. Then 30 minutes into the interview, for more interviews on sales, marketing, and advertising, go to HardToFindSeminars.com. And then you want an ending. If you have a two-part interview, you want to end part one that says, "This is the end of part one. Please continue to part two." Because you got to assume that the people listening to your audio interviews is stupid. You got to tell them exactly what to do. A lot of my interviews are all posted on iTunes. So I'm using these audio interviews on iTunes to get people to my site. Another costly mistake that people make when they're doing audio interviews and they're posting them online is to not have the ID tags. Now, when you put a CD in your player, when you're listening to radio, you see who the artist is and what the song is called. These are tags that you could code your audios with. Now, I have my assistant do all this for me, so I can't explain exactly how to do that, but I have over 200 audio interviews that are available through iTunes. If you search Michael Sinoff on iTunes, you'll see them all, and you'll see when it pulls down that listing, you'll see the artist is Michael Sinoff, and then you'll also see my URL from hardtofindseminars.com. And also the iPods can alphabetize their playlists, the song listings. So you got to keep in mind, it always goes back to pay attention to how the end user is using your audio. And there are a fortune of people using the audio. They're downloading it and they're sharing it with their friends. They're organizing it on their iPods, on their cell phones, on their PDAs, on their Blackberries, and on the multiple devices that are coming out. So that's a mistake, not doing the ID3 tags. Another mistake, like in copywriting, is not having a call to action at the end of the interview or even throughout the interview. If we're doing an audio infomercial designed to sell a product, I may want to direct the listener several times throughout the interview. For more information, go to and you give them a URL. Or for more information, call 1-800-982-6487. Give them a call to action throughout the interview, but at the very end of the interview, you want to thank the listener for listening. Thank you for listening to this audio recording with referral expert Paul McCord. If you'd like more information on his coaching program, please call, and then you can give a number. Now, I have a whole series on the call to action, and this is really, really important when creating and developing information products. I've got a proprietary way that I learned based on a bad experience how to get paid for what you're doing. If you negotiate deals with somebody and you're using audio recordings to promote and sell them, with the internet, you don't want other people using your audio to sell a similar product they're using. And I've got ways and tips and tricks that will show you how to keep people from stealing your audio content and from profiting from your audio content, which we can talk about later maybe. Then here is one of the biggest mistakes. When you're doing your audio interviews, yes, you are there to ask questions, but the biggest mistake is not listening. And because you're doing the interview, your ego is going to get in the way, and it's going to say, ask a question, talk more. I'm doing the interview. I want to be heard more. You're going to want to pipe in and talk more in the interview. And I think that's a mistake because you're doing the interview. You are really just the guy asking the questions. They don't want to hear you. They want to hear your expert. And by you piping in and talking more in the interview, I think that's a big mistake. I think bad language in an interview is a mistake. I think joking and laughing in the interview, in my opinion, lessens the effectiveness, the selling power of your interview. There's nothing funny about making money. You know, ask the wife of a guy who's having a hard time paying the mortgage and he's trying to make some money if there's anything funny about that. It's not. I would edit out any kind of giggling and laughing and jokes during the interview.
When I was going through your audio marketing secrets course, what I thought was one of the highlights was when you show us how to make multiple sales just from that one sale of that one product. You show us how to make multiple sales after that once they buy the product without doing anything. It's just automatic. Can you explain that a little bit?
Sure. I'll give you three examples of how this can be done and two examples of exactly how I'm doing it in current products that I'm marketing. One example, let's say one of your listeners wants to create an information product on information publishing, and it's going to be a collection of 10 different audio interviews with experts in the information products publishing industry. Well, let's say I'm putting that product together, and I'm going to set up 10 interviews with experts on information products, and I do those 10 interviews. Those 10 interviews are my product. That's my product. 10 audio interviews. I've got them on CD. I've got them transcript. It's a complete expert's guide to developing and creating information products. So there's my product that I'm selling, whether it's digital for $97 or $497, or I've built the value up, and it could even sell for $1,997. But if you really want to be smart about it, before you agree to interview these experts, these 10, because there are probably 200 experts on information product developing, you want to negotiate back-end deals with each one of these experts. You can bet that these information products publishers have an inventory of information products. They have sales letters already developed for their information products. They may even have audio content that helps sell their information products, and you want to negotiate affiliate deals with them. You want to say, I'm going to interview you. Your interview is going to be part of a product that I'm going to sell, but if I direct people to this product that you have, I want to do a deal where I make 50% affiliate commission, or you could negotiate a product that they're not even doing anything with. You know, you want to talk to them, get to know what do they have that they haven't done anything with. You may be able to negotiate rights to a product where you only pay them 20% of the gross sale, and you make 80%. So at the back end of each one of these interviews, that audio interview is going to be designed to give real good value to your listener, but you're also going to be selling and pushing and promoting that information product that you've set up an affiliate deal with each one of those 10 experts. So now your 10 audio interviews, not only can you sell them and make money, you could also give those away for free, still with the potential of making you money. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, you can basically sell the product and then there's instant built-in back-end sales within the product itself without having to do anything.
That's right. And some can be very high-end. And I'll give you an example of one of my products that I sell. I don't want to mention which one, but there's a product that I sell, and it's a product that sells for over $1,000 on my site, and I make good money from selling that initial product. But there is a back-end potential on that product that could make me anywhere from $30,000 to $100,000. Here's another example. As you create products out there in audio interviews, you've got to understand that if you're getting them played, you want to be able to create different products that you can sell and different services that you can sell. Now, as you go through any of my interviews on my site and all the different products you see on my site, you'll hear me promoting on the end of my audio interviews some of my higher-end services. One is an audio infomercial service where anyone who has a product sitting there and they want a hard-hitting audio recording that's designed to sell the product, you know, I charge $2,000 for that. And then there's the audio creation product where someone wants me to work with them and create an entire product from start to finish. You know, I could charge anywhere from $20,000 to $40,000 for something like that. Now, here's another tip, and it has to do with tips. At the end of each one of my free recordings, you'll hear, here's another tip from Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. If you go to this page, H, on my site, you'll hear 20 hours of free recordings on how to become a marketing consultant. Or you'll hear on another recording, here's another tip from Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. Go to the section on my site that says products. So I am directing the listeners of these audio recordings. I'm informing and educating them about different parts of my site designed to sell them something. You know, I said in other interviews, my site is like the monkey maze at the county fair. You know, when you go into the little fun house and it's got all the mirrors and you go in and it's like a maze of mirrors and you get lost in the mirrors?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? I want people to come get lost in my site. And as they start listening to these audio interviews, I want them hooked. But make no mistake, my site is designed to, yes, give away more value than anyone else on the internet gives, but it's also designed to create a sale. And I'm using every part of that real estate, which is my audio recording, the beginning, the middle, the end, the empty space on a 70-minute audio CD is real estate. If you're putting out audio recordings on a CD that are only 40 minutes, you have 30 minutes of additional listening time that you could fill that up with additional sales material in the form of audio.
You can almost put an extra bonus audio on there, couldn't you?
Absolutely. And I have on the end of some of my products, my CD products, I have. Here's a bonus recording. You know, it's a surprise bonus because when someone listens to an audio on the CD, they're in their car, and let's say the recording's only 30 minutes, and it comes to the end, that's it. But you've got their attention. You've got them listening. You can say, here's an unexpected bonus for the last 20 minutes of the CD, and it's a recording about, boom, it could be one of your other audio recordings designed to sell one of your affiliate product deals. Don't ever put out a CD that isn't filled up with all 70 minutes of listening time. Another great idea, it's kind of an advanced marketing tactic, and then I was going to ask you about this. You know, when you put out all your audio recordings, why don't we do a deal where you give me the last 20 minutes of each one of your CDs to put my stuff on?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm kind of joking, but it's serious. You know, you've got people putting out CD products with this empty real estate on the end of their CD.
It just adds value to it.
That's right. Adds value, and you can buy that piece of real estate. You can buy that chance to get your product's message in the head of a listener.
If you were putting these on your website, you could actually sell that as advertising space to other people doing audio.
Yes, you could. That is audio advertising space.
And you could change it every month, whenever you want.
Yeah, if you wanted to, as digital downloads, you could. Absolutely.
Okay, so you've given a lot of information away on this interview, probably more than enough for someone to at least get started. But you and I both know that these types of basics only get you so far, but when you want to get into the upper levels there and make a lot of money doing this the way you have, a $5,000 product and that sort of thing, you probably need a little bit more instruction on this. So I know you've created this product called Audio Marketing Secrets, and I know you've agreed to give my subscribers a very, very huge discount on that, probably more than anyone else is getting, even people on your own list. Could you tell us a little bit about that and where they can find it?
Sure. Audio Marketing Secrets, like I said earlier in the interview, every other product that I market on my site, I am not the expert. This is the only product that I position myself as an expert, and it's a product I developed called Audio Marketing Secrets, and in a nutshell, it basically gives you a systemized, step-by-step way of how to turn your $28 book or just an idea in your head into a $3,900 information product. Now, it could be a $5,900 information product. It could be a $100 information product, a $497, a $297, $1,497. It all depends. The more you talk, the more you make. And this product goes into detail and step by step of exactly how to do it. It is a digital product where you download the MP3 audio recordings, and there are word-for-word transcripts, and some of the topics that we talk about is how to turn a $28 book into a $3,900 information package. We cover 7 fatal mistakes that will kill the creation of your audio program dead. You get the full report and audio downloads. There's frontline secrets from the trenches, breakthrough audio creation report. There's another report called 17 Roadblocks that can stop you from making your information product and how to get around them fast. There's a Fast Track Audio Creation Guide. These are 17 secrets to planning your audio in the fastest possible time. And also, with your paid order, you get a half-hour one-on-one audio information product consultation that's worth $350. I charge $700 an hour for consulting by phone, and you'll get a full 30 minutes with me to discuss anything you want about an idea in your head or about any information product that you're trying to add value to or you're trying to market. Now, the real value in this is, I've been selling this product for a number of years, and I've done a lot of these consultations, and I've gone through my inventory of all my audio consults that I've done with people with ideas of information products, and I've picked out 15 of the best ones. So you get 15 hours of me consulting with people one-on-one, all with ideas on how to create their information product. Now, I've given you a lot of information in this audio interview, Ben, but you have an additional 15 hours of me giving my best advice when I'm really on my game to help these people create and develop information products. So by the time someone studies these 15 hours of consultations, they're going to really have all the knowledge, every trick I use. You're going to have how to do the editing. You're going to have the software. You're going to know exactly what to get from Radio Shack to get set up. You're going to have step-by-step of exactly everything I've learned based on my experience developing and creating all these information products in this product.
You've been really gracious enough to give my subscribers what I think is an extremely generous discount of, I believe, 67% off. And you can get that only by going to bensettle.com/audio. So it's bensettle.com/audio. Now, he's not even giving this to his own subscribers.
You can go to my site and go to my products page and look on how to turn a $28 book into a $3,900 information product, and you'll see how much I'm selling it for. And I'm not lowering the price, and you can see the special offer for your subscribers are able to get it for, and you'll see quite a savings.
It's a no-brainer, I think. Thank you, Michael, for doing this. A lot of people are going to get a lot of value out of this.
Ben, it was my pleasure, and I hope I've educated and answered questions about how to create audio and turn them into information products. I would just encourage your students who have thought about doing this to just go for it. I mean, why don't you tell me, Ben, I know for years you thought about it. What were your fears, and what finally kicked you in the butt to actually do it?
I got to tell you, it's just taken enough hassles with writing copy for other people to get to the point where you realize that you've got all this talent. You've been reading all these books and writing all these ads, and you're pouring all your energy into someone else's stuff. And for me, at least, it's been more of an awakening, like, why am I not doing this for my own stuff? And, okay, now how do I start creating my own product? And I don't know if every copywriter looks at it that way, but you're going to eventually. I can guarantee it, because it just takes a lot of time and effort, and you're only getting paid peanuts compared to what you could... I mean, sell a $5,000 product twice, and you've made way more than you're probably going to make in an upfront fee. And as you've proven with your HMA thing, you can just sell this thing over and over and over. And it's like a little, like you say, a vending machine.
Right. Well, one of the funniest things, when people call me and they want to talk, I'm telling you, 9 out of 10 times this comes out of their mouth. They say, oh, Michael, I really appreciate you talking. I know how busy you are. And many times, I'm picking up the phone and I don't have shit going on. And the reason is, my audio online is doing all the work. Michael Senoff's recordings are talking 100 times at the same time to people all over the world. The audio is doing all the work. It frees up my time and gives me a life to do what I want. Your audio, you do the work once, and it can pay you for your life.
You asked me before, you know, what was the hang-up, though, as far as, like, if there are any fears or not. I would say, yeah, there's that fear of just, like, how do I get started? How do I know I'm not going to screw this up? What do I do if it doesn't sound right? And how do you find someone to edit, or how do you do the editing? And all these things that you cover in your course, it's not hard at all. It's actually very simple. I mean, it's as simple as picking up the phone and pushing record. And that's it. All the technical stuff is no big deal. I mean, you can find probably someone on Elance or something if you really have to.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're absolutely so fearful that you cannot do an interview, you know, I tell people all the time, you pay someone else to do it for you. Because what you pay for them to do the interview, if you get it out there and do a little marketing with what you have, will make you way more than what it costs you to pay that other person. So hire it out. One of my secrets is outsourcing. I have a team around me. I have an editor. I have copywriters. I have a webmaster. I've got writers. There's no way you can do it all yourself. But your audio interviews is like your letters, your copywriting. Those are just as powerful sales forces as your sales letters. And you got to do that right. If you don't do it right, it can hurt you. So in this course, I show you how to do it right, or what I believe is the right way to do it.
You've done enough of them where I think the proof is in the pudding there. So
another thing I want to note is I continually add to this course. So as I learn more and develop more and get more ideas, I will add to this audio product. So it's kind of like never ending if you want to keep checking back with it.
Once again, I just want to say thank you. And Michael is giving a very, very big discount to my subscribers and people who are listening to this interview, you guys out there. Because, you know, Michael and I have been working together for a while, and we made this deal, and I'm telling you, it's almost a no-brainer to get it now. And you can only get it by going to bensettle.com/audio. Anyone who orders the special offer for Michael's audio marketing secrets, Michael will include a special link to the sales letter that I wrote for the Scooterport invention, directly from Michael's interview with the inventor. And once you see this, you'll have a blueprint and see exactly how I took 95% of the copy directly from the transcripts of the interview Michael did. And you will get a link to those transcripts as well. So thank you for listening to this. And once again, for the discount on Michael's Audio Marketing Secrets product, go to bensettle.com/audio. And he's giving you almost a 70% discount on the course. So thank you very much. And Michael, take care.
All right, Ben. Thanks.